Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current condition and their current state and place in this great blue planet or blue marble called planet Earth. Hold on, hang on. Change is coming. Change is certainly coming. There's some interesting stuff that's taking place right now. And folks, you know, believe it or not, change is occurring. Now, change don't happen overnight. It could, but it doesn't. But it's occurring, and that's a beautiful and blessed thing. Like I say, hang on, you know, and it's all about the intellect, the increase of intellectual beings, you know, on this earth. Today is April the 9th in the year 2016. Amazingly enough, here we are. The name of this broadcast is Who is to Blame? Black Lives Matter. And let me explain this, the title of this a little bit, because there has been some protests. There's been some things that's, that's jumped up. You know, every time we have a white person, such as like a Bill Clinton the other day, or even Barack Obama, and he, of course he's African American. If you remember when he took over the presidency, he spoke out some things about black people and the crime rates and black people. And living their lives the way we do, you know, here in America, and wanting to blame others. And the concerned black clergy was there and kind of chastised Mr. Obama for coming out like that. And just because he becomes a black president, you know, a lot of black people think that, you know, he's supposed to gift, you know, all these different, you know, reparations, I guess you might call it, or different types of programs or whatever type of things, that just because we have a black president, you know, that black people should be given all these different gifts and all these different programs and different things and stuff. Folks, it don't work like that. It just don't work like that. You know, of course, yeah, I'm an African American, and you know, everybody should know that by now. And everything that I have ever done, you know, in my life, in my years on this earth, you know, I've earned. I started working when I was formally working, you know, drawing a paycheck with taxation and contribution, you know, into my Social Security at the age of 16 years old. I wasn't even old enough to work at the place, you know, but my desire to work and to have money in my pocket and to, you know, have nice things and stuff, you know, came early on in life because of, you know, what I seen as a young person growing up. You know, I seen getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning every day, having a cup of coffee with my grandfather who lived to be 103 years old. You know, good years, a good man, you know, taught manhood to a lot of guy, little young men and black boys, white and black, you know, all through all race spectrum, you know, what it was to be a man, to represent manhood and to walk in an upright manner as a man should. And a lot of people, you know, benefited from seeing that as young people and you know, having that as a idol or an image, I should say, of what it's all about to be a man. My folks, you know, raised me not to, you know, look for entitlements and not to look for things of handouts and different things like that. You know, I can remember one year I got laid off from work. I went on to school, went on to college and all this other kind of stuff. Now, in high school, I rarely went to high school. As a matter of fact, I did not graduate from high school formally. I went and took the GED. Took my GED because I was making just too much money. By the time I got into high school and my work ethic had really, you know, kicked in, I was making $922 a month, you know, bringing home, you know, in my pocket working. I can remember that number very clearly because I did it for 4 years straight. Then I went on to, you know, and you know, folks counted me out, you know, as an outcast, as a type of kid that's not going to make it, you know, in this world, in this society and stuff, simply because I dropped out of high school. And he'll never be anything, you know, he'll never do this and he'll never do that, blah, 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 you know. But it was interesting because there was an old white gentleman in my high school, and he was a division principal. We had four principals in the school that I went to, and A division, B division, C division, and D division. And I never will forget this old gentleman because, you know, I would go in there and talk to him. And, you know, he knew how I thought and, you know, what was in the goodness in my heart. And he knew that I was a genuinely good person, even though that, you know, I didn't, you know, they said I had a revolving door. My mother used to tell me I had a revolving door policy at my school. And I go in with the front door and go out the back door, you know, walk straight through the school. And this old gentleman would see me, the division principal. We speak in the mornings and stuff like that. And, you know, of course, you know, I'd be gone. And, you know, it was very interesting because this old guy, he actually covered for me. You know, he knew of my people, of my folks and stuff, and, you know, how they were, you know, fitted into society and things of that nature. And, yeah, like her, you know, I mentioned before, my mother ran a minimum security prison for 20 years. She worked for the state that I come from for 41 years, and she's still working. She's 81 years old, and she's still working today. You know, that's how we are. That's what's ingrained in us. That's what I seen growing up, you know, not looking, you know, for a handout, you know, not looking for different giftings and, you know, all this other kind of stuff, you know, which is, you know, ridiculous nonsense, you know, in a nation of opportunity for those that will pursue that opportunity and get up and go get it. You know, now there's a lot of things in the mix here that would help, that would, you know, cause to deter or to, you know, to distract, you know, a people from achieving their best and achieving their goals. Yes, there's all these different calculated and uncalculated pitfalls, you know, added in society. But if you work hard, know yourself, you know, work hard, go for it, go get it, just do it. As Nike would say, you know, the rewards are great. The rewards are fair. The rewards are abundant, you know, and they're more gratifying when you get it, when you go get it yourself. When you walk across that stage after going through a painstaking, you know, educational track, when you walk across that stage, and it was so sweet for me because those very folks that said that I would never be nothing or do anything in society were, you know, either directly in that audience or had heard word of my accomplishment or my achievement, and, you know, they basically had to eat crow in my personal regard. And my grandfather, I never will forget, this is a man that was, you know, he was so solid in being a man. I only seen him cry like, you know, one, maybe two times, you know, in my entire life. And in my entire life, but the day that I walked across that stage and received my my certificate of completion in computer science, I'll just go ahead and put that out there. He shed tears, you know, and was so proud, you know, because as being the man he is in the community, he heard all these negative things. You know, and it was certainly a spiritual thing, you know, because a lot of people, you know, again, like I say, he shown a lot of people, a lot of men especially, you know, what it is to be a man, and yet, you know, he's directly raising a man, and and he was destined to be a failure. It was very troubling to him, you know. So when I walked across that stage and I handed him my certificate of completion, and I said, "We did it, Grandpa. We did it." You know, I didn't say I did it. I said, "We did it." I gave him, you know, his excuse me. excuse me. I gave him his credit. I gave him his credit. But anyhow, there's no excuses. I come from a single parent, you know, household. You know, and thank God that they were there. You know, the support groups, you know, support people were there in my life. You know, but there's no excuses, folks. It's time out, you know, for all the nonsense and the foolishness in terms of our, you know, black people, in terms of us. I'm not talking about and looking at other. There's only one human race, you know, but I'm talking about us right now. So to chastise and protest and holler and scream when, you know, a man steps up to the podium and, you know, tells the truth, you know, through statistical data, through reality, you know, reality checks and things of that nature of our plight, of our, you know, of our walk in life. That's senseless, you know, for us to act and behave and retaliate in that manner when it's all true. Now, what I'm going to do in these broadcasts coming forward, we're going to look at facts. We're going to look at data. We're going to look at statistics and reality. And then what we're going to do, we're going to go back and find where the spiritual aspect or the spiritual disconnect, you know, comes into where we are in this day and time. You know, and who's and there's a fault here. There's certainly a fault here. That's why the name of this broadcast is Who's to Blame? You see, and you know, the reality we speak, you know, and the figures and the facts will speak for themselves. And then we're going to look at like exactly why we are in the condition that we are in. And yes, we've done this to ourselves. We have no one else to blame. And then we're going to look at clearly why. But anyhow, it's amazing to me, you know, when, you know, you look at, you know, a white person such as, you know, Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or Bernie Sanders, even Donald Trump, you know, stood up the other day and put up some statistics about, you know, black on black crime and, you know, black on white crime and, you know, crime statistics. Real numbers. They were a little bit off. It was just a little bit off. But the message and the point was clear that what he was making and what they're saying is factual. You see, it'd be different if they were stepping up there to the podium and lying and making, you know, inaccuracies, you know, concerning, you know, black people in America, you know, in an unfair manner, unfair way or a biased way. But they're not. And it's even so more so amazing that we have, you know, black, you know, clergymen, black pastors, you know, black activists, black leaders, you know, black people, you know, in the spotlight, you know, that won't step up, you know, and claim these numbers, you know, and talk about and dialogue about, you know, and bring it to the forefront. You know, it's so ridiculous, you know, that they are afraid to approach, you know, these numbers and these realities, you know, in the media and in forums and why, you know, this is mind-boggling to me, you know. But again, if you look at the spiritual aspect as to why we are where we are, then it all is very clear and it truly does make sense. And we're going to dig into that real heavily, you know, here and now and put this out, you know, encapsulated in time for one and put it out as a message around the world in our healing. See, this is the first phase and the first step of the healing process. First, you have to dialogue about it. You have to bring it forward, bring it to the forums and to the forefront, and to the podiums and to the, you know, microphones and the speakers and the airways and you know, the internet and different things like that, you know, so we can look at it realistically and put it into our psyche and into our, you know, our mindset, you know, in a real sense, and not just a man getting up there, you know, chastising another man, you know, without statistical data and reality. So anyhow, what we're going to do here, you have to bear with me, and this is going to be a wide broadcast. It's going to take a couple of days, you know, to put this out here because there's a lot involved here. You know, there's a whole lot involved here, but we're going to look at the numbers. We're going to look at some facts and reality here first. Now, I'm Google. I have Googled the Breitbart.com, big government, 11. Let's see, what is this? I think it's 2015. Hold on just a second. Five devastating. Now this is Breitbart.com, and this is five devastating facts about black on black crime. And this is the first number. And you'll see a picture of a middle aged, you know, black man with dreads, and you'll see a clean cut young man. And I think that's the same man here, same person. And they're just looking at the progression. I think that's what this is all about. And we're gonna touch on a few of these things, and take the time to get through them. But the mainstream America media, again, happily hitting the Black Lives Matter crack pipe in the pernicious pursuit of high ratings. These bloodlusting junkies are nowhere to be found when the haunting predictability, Chicago news headlines after headlines, detail the carnage that has consumed dozens of communities in the city where black men kill each other on a terrifyingly regularly. Okay. Okay. Well, this is what the, okay. This is a little boy here. Okay. Where the Black Lives Matter protesters after? Okay. Where were these Black Lives Matter protesters after the slaying of Chicago's little Tyshawn Lee, the 9-year-old lured into an alley and shot to death by a black man seeking a gang-related vengeance against his father? Now this brother on the left lures a little black kid at 9 years old into an alley to seek vengeance against his father. So he killed the little boy in retaliation to something his father done. The little Tyshawn murder at the hands of black gangsters, an all too common occurrence in Chicago, not warrant wall-to-wall coverage or Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson style calls for justice? No. Why? Because the ugly truth behind Black Lives Matter is that black people killing other black people does nothing to advance its political power in the same way that one white cop killing a black criminal can. Now that's deep, folks, but that's real. Despite the media's overindulgence on white cops killing blacks, there is still a far larger amount of black bodies being sent to the morgue by black killers. And here's five devastating facts. And liberals can't deny that prove it. Okay, I ain't going to get into liberals, Democrats, or whatever Republicans on this issue and stuff because, you know, there's a sad fact and a sad reality here. Fact one: over 1,400 black Americans murdered other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from the years 1882 to 1968. Okay, according to FBI data, 4,906 black people murdered other blacks in 2010 and 2011. Folks, this is only 2 years. That is 1,460 more black Americans killed by other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from 1882 to 1968, according to the Tuskegee Institute. So, folks, this has to be real data. These have to be real numbers. Look at the source from whence it comes. The Tuskegee Institute, okay? Fact two, black people, mostly men, commit a grossly disproportionate amount of crime. In 2012, white males were 38% of the population in America and committed 4,582 murders. Those predominantly were against one another, and we're going to go into those facts on how it all stays within the spectrum, the color spectrum. That same year, black males were just 6.6% of the population here in America, but committed a staggering 5,531 murders. That's mind blowing. Black males were just 6% of the population here in America, but killed one another more, 5,531 murders, more than 38% of males in the population. That's a heck of a that's staggering. And in other words, black people at just a fifth of the size committed about 1,000 more murders than their white counterparts. Now, you can't. We're not here. I'm not here to point fingers at any other, you know, culture or color or whatever the case. I'm talking about us. You know, I'm not trying to blame anybody else. Nobody's putting a gun to, you know, black people, black men's heads, you know, saying you got to go out here and do this to other black people. You know, this is us. All right. The figures above highlight a horrific truth that black racialists and white liberals routinely ignore. Law-breaking black Americans, young black males particularly, put themselves in close proximity to mostly white male police officers at a rate 5 to 10 times higher than whites. And this is a recipe for disaster. Despite making up just 13% of the population, black committed half of the homicides in the United States for nearly 30 years. Looking at data for 30 years and being just 13% of the entire population in America, this is all black people here in America, blacks committed half of the homicides, over half, 52% of the homicides in America for 30 consecutive years. Folks, that's mind-blowing. This is reality. The Department of Justice shows that between 1980 and the year 2008, black people committed 52% of the homicides. And against and these 52%, 90 of these 52%, 96% were blacks killing blacks. Folks, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And what bothers me and blows my mind is why isn't the black clergy, the black ministers and like I say, these leaders and different things like that, bringing this to the forefront, bringing it to the forum. But yet and still, when a white man does it, you want to yell and scream and protest and show signs, Black Lives Matter, and all this other kind of foolishness and nonsense, but you won't do anything. You know, you won't look at the man in the mirror. This is ridiculous. And you got to understand that God's watching all of this. And this is where the problem, we're going to get into it on the spiritual aspect of it. You know, what we've bought into, because it's clear as a bell. It's all here. This is going to be some good stuff. And the ears of influence, catch hold of this. All right? And so now, in 2013, black criminals committed 38% of the murders. Whites accounted for just 31%. But look at the numbers of the difference of how many of both groups there are here in America. There's a big difference. There are five times fewer black people than white people here in America, yet they consistently carry out a larger share of the crimes. Given this rate, it's no wonder that they aren't more assistant, white assistant, where cops kill black criminals. Okay? I mean, the numbers are here. This is a reality. You see, everybody's afraid to talk about it. Maybe on the conspiratory side, they don't want to fix it. They want us to continue to be in this way, in this manner. But that would be our own people. That would be our own leaders. That would be our own church and clergy. If you're not a part of the solution, then you're a part of the crime. Think about that for a minute. And I challenge you to go and take this to, you know, your pastors and leaders and different things like that. You know, if you're not a part of the solution, then by God, you're a part of the crime. Challenge, okay, and then fact number four, Chicago's death toll is almost equal to that of both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. And that's talking about just the city of Chicago, okay? And you can go in there and read that, you know, yourself, because a lot of people know that, but, you know, that's it. Now, number five, this is mind-blowing. This is another mind-blowing one. It would take cops 40 years to kill as many black men as have died at the hands of other black men in 2012 alone, in 1 year. It would take cops, looking at the statistics of the cops that kill black people, black men, you know, here in America, or have killed black men here in America, it would take cops 40 years to kill as many black men as have died at the hands of other black men in the year 2012 alone. That's just in 1 year, folks. It would take the cops 40 years to kill as many that black killed in 1 year. And keep in mind, they've done this for 30 consecutive years. They have recorded here. University of Toledo criminologist Dr. Richard Johnson examined the latest crime data of the FBI supplementary homicide reports and Centers for Disease Control and found that an average of 4,472 black men were killed by other black men annually between the year January 1st, 2009 and December 31st, 2012. Professor Johnson, a researcher, further concluded that 112 black men died from both justified and unjustified police-involved killings annually during that same period. Only 112. I say only 112. You know, that's 112 too many because, you know, we put ourselves in a line of, you know, in a line of fire, if you will, or give them a reason, you know, to justify or unjustifiably, you know, kill us or shoot us or whatever the case may be. They're not just going to walk. They don't just walk up, you know, and kill a black man for, you know, just for the heck of it, just for the sport. Now, maybe there was a day and time when that did occur, you know, in our you know, ugly history, you know, and things of that nature. But here in our modern history and our recent history, you know, these are facts that, you know, don't have to occur. You see, I'm a black man. I've never the few encounters that I've had with law enforcement have been rather pleasant. Now, of course, since a lot of this stuff has gone on, you know, I see them try to provoke. You know, I understand that. You know, I get the little, you know, provocative type of things that, you know, that occur and stuff like that. You know, I see it and I get it. But I take control of the situation and calm the situation. Let them know up front, hey, look, you're not going to get retaliation and you know, a belligerent reply and response from me. You know, I know God, you see. I know, you know, how I walk, you know, upright, you know, in life and things of that nature. And once they see, you know, they see that, you know, behavior, you know, and that spirit, you know, come from you, then it's almost like a defense shield. It's almost like something, you know, pops up and you see it in their face. Their whole demeanor changes. Then you become, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. So-and-so. Yes, you know, Mr. So-and-so. And so forth and things of that nature. Respect, you see. And 9 times out of 10, I have been told to go. They run a check on my license and things like that. They tell me, they come back and say, have a nice day. Mr. So-and-so, have a nice day. Just be careful, slow down, or stop at a stop sign, or whatever the case may be. But have a nice day. You know, now if that same officer would have come up and you know, what the hell are you stopping me for? And blah, 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 and you know, all this other kind of stuff. It's my right, this, blah, blah, blah. You're in a situation. You may be riding dirty, you know, and get out of there. Just because you act respectful and decent, you know, to the woman who comes to court. You know, you never know. But anyhow, those are some grim and real facts, folks, something to really chew on and deal with. This needs to hit the media. It needs to hit the airways. If we are really concerned about correcting these situations and these ills, you know, in this nation, this information will. And this is www.amrian.com. I got 60 seconds. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. God wants us to do why? Simply because God is love. And I'm going to keep on talking because I may have a few more minutes. But anyhow, this is amrian.com. This right here is the Department of Justice, American Renaissance, new Department of Justice statistics on race and violent crimes. Folks, you take a look at this. You know, read this table here, and look at the pie charts. Choice of victims by white violent offenders in the year 2012-2013. Choice of victims by black violent offenders 2012-2013. You know, you can see the pie chart. It's all right here. It's all right here. Okay, so I had 10 seconds, but. Like I say, if it runs out of time, then I'll be back tomorrow morning with more information, more facts. And now they've added the Hispanics into the mix, you know, so we can get a clear and good snapshot on all of it, you know, as it pertains to you know, the human race here in America. Also, you can look at PolitiFact.com. There's a nice article here, an updated look at statistics on black-on-black murders. This is PolitiFact.com. Florida article, 2015, May 21st, 23, updated look. Black-on-black murders, how police interact with black men is in the news following the April 19th death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Okay. And you can read that for yourself. There's a little, you know, there's some numbers that are just a little bit off there. Look at these numbers here, folks. 2009, 91%. 2010, 90%. 2011, 91%. 2012, 91%. 2013, 90%. This is a percentage of black murders by black. And just in that little clip, in that little caption, you see. Percentage of whites murdered by whites is 84%, 83%, 83%, 84%, 83%. So, you know, white folks killing white folks, black folks killing black folks. You see what I'm saying? It's not white folks, you know, killing black folks and black folks killing white folks. Those numbers are small. Those percentages are small. This is what we do to one another. Okay? And you can certainly go in there and read that clip there. And that's a good read, okay? Now, of course, I talked about Mr. Trump. You know, he came out and he had an article. I mean, he spoke of some things and showed a statistic of 2015. These numbers ain't far off, folks. You know, you can say what you want. Say what you want about Mr. Trump, this, that, you know, racist and racial and all that other kind of stuff. But it would look like that we're racist against one another, you know, to tell you the truth. I mean, look at these figures. They're off a little bit, but blacks killed by blacks, like I said, 97%. That number is about accurate, folks. You know, I mean, it is what it is. Say what you want. It is what it is. Then I got another interesting article here that I want you to go look at, PolitiFact.com. And it's a truth-o-meter type article. This is July the 29th, 2013. This is Don Lemon here, and he says more than 72% of African-American, he's talking about African-American households. CNN's Don Lemon says that more than 72% of African-American births are out of wedlock, okay? And the father is nowhere to be found. You know, the child support enforcement has to go run them down. Folks, this is ridiculous. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. But these are real facts. These are real numbers here. You can certainly read that article. Just because you can have a baby, it doesn't mean that you should, Lemon said, especially without planning for one or getting married first. More than 72% of children in African-American communities are born out of wedlock. That means that absent fathers, and the study showed the lack of male role models, is the express train right to prison, and the cycle continues, folks. This is it. These numbers that, you know, that like I say, you got these white men and folks jumping up here on stage and behind the podium and on the mic, you know, talking about these things, these realities and these truths, and you have folks, instead of getting in line and talking about, you know, solutions and what we can do to, you know, help solve these ills from the birth canal up, you know, and forward, you know, we want to raise signs and protest that you can't say that, and this ain't right, and you this is unfair, you know, talking about us and all these other kind of things. Where's our people? You know, where's the black church? You know, chastising the congregation. What they're doing it out of fear that people are gonna leave the congregation because of the truth, you know, shall make you free. No. The truth, if you tie it into what I'm going to tie it into, will certainly make you free. But that freedom is liberation. That freedom is a happiness. That freedom is a joy. Why? Because you can walk through your communities. Women can walk through their communities and not be shot and killed and robbed and raped, you know, by men that are supposed to be protecting them in throughout our communities. You know, there's a disconnect, there's a dysfunctionality, you know, amongst us, you know, and it's a reality. It's something we have to accept. But the first thing we have to do is look at statistics, look at real figures and real facts, and not chastise those who bring it you know, to the forefront and to the forum. You know, this is why Mr. Sanders has done well and made great progress and strides, because he has courage enough to step up to the mic and bring it out. But folks, this is the initial start phases of the solution, of the healing. You know, this time is going to come. It's written that this time would come in the evolution of humanity, and we're here. You know, we're here through the dissemination of information and intellectual growing and progression. You know, things of that. You know, like that. You know, for the human race. You know, we're at this stage and at this point of correction. You know. And carrying forward the will of God, you know, as one human people, you see. But we have to, you know, bring forth and accept the dialogue, accept the facts, accept the history for what it is, you know, and make a change, you know, so it won't be this way, you know, going forward. We're supposed to be protectors of people. That's what we're here for. I'm gonna prove it spiritually and scripturally. I'm gonna prove it. That's what we're here for. That's why we were brought to this nation, to protect, you know, one another, to protect and change society, and to protect and bring mankind back to God. But boy, we've had a road detour along the way, and now it's time to get back on track. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. God bless each and everyone, you know. Love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. And I'll be back, I think, tomorrow to follow up on some things, and we're going to bring the spiritual aspect and some scriptural, you know, readings into fold and clearly why we are where we are in this day and time, because a lot of people just don't know. I talked to a lot of pastors, a lot of folks that call themselves church-going folks and spiritual. They have no clue of what I'm talking about. And it's been in circulation for over 6,000 years, you know. So 600 years directly, you know, straight and directly in text, in scripture. 600 years, folks. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Let me take that back. It's 2,016 years plus 600 years. So whatever that adds up to, that's how long it's been in the text in scripture. And yet and still here we are today in the condition that we're in, black people, and ultimately all people, you know. But we're going to make a change, so we're going to bring it, you know, we're going to bring it full circle, you know, and we're going to be accountable for what we do. We're going to be held in account for what we do. So anyhow, that's my broadcast. Take care of one another. Like I say, it's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. So long for now, and we'll see you on the next broadcast.